the OTB Podcast Network.
So the Allianz Football Leagues are back and they get underway this weekend. One of the big games that everybody's going to be watching is Armagh against Monaghan on Sunday. And delighted to welcome Armagh manager Kieran McGeaney to the show. Kieran, how are you getting on?
Yeah, great. Thanks very much. Now, let's find it just great to get sort of back at it now this week and looking forward to a game and getting things to sort of look at something like what normal was like.
I get the sense that you were somebody who would have been raring to go during those down months.
Yeah, like, you know, I suppose the problem with me is I'm getting older, but like, I don't think like that. I really think like I'm still playing, and you know, when you're sort of like laid up, at least when you're getting out in the pitch and seeing the boys and that, like, it makes you feel like you're still doing something. But yeah, no, like, really excited about the weekend and getting things going. Looking forward to seeing the whole GAA sort of calendar kick off.
Does it feel important, even though it's only half of a Division 1 campaign, essentially? I know as a result of that, then, it's essentially a lot of Ulster derbies.
Yeah, no, there's only Ulster derbies.
Exactly.
yeah, but still, listen, like, I suppose we could look at the glass half empty at this stage, and you could be doing that for the last, you know, 14 months, but I'm glad to be looking at it the other way, sort of half full. We have three great games in front of us, probably four. Like, you'd be playing one of those teams twice, so just think everybody's looking forward to getting back in the pitch and getting back and doing what everybody loves doing, which is playing games.
How do you gauge up until this point whether or not your team is ready for Division 1? Is there any markers you were looking at throughout last year, for example?
Yeah, like, well, obviously, sort of, I suppose the big one is just getting there. And but the thing for us is we need to get into Division 1 to be able to play teams like Donegal more often. And the big thing for us is to be able to stay there and, you know, like, challenge those teams, because we've shown we can live like with them for different parts of it. But then, like, you know, when we make mistakes, we get punished severely. And when they make mistakes, we don't punish them anywhere near severe. So they're the two areas that we had to really look at. But you won't know where you are in those areas until you get out and play these teams. Like, as a Monaghan, Tyrone and Donegal, three teams that have been thereabouts from the quarterfinals on for the last decade, is definitely going to be a huge challenge for us. But that's what the players are looking forward to. And I think, as a whole, that's what our county is looking forward to.
It's been interesting, the additions you've made to the squads and the additions you've made to the backroom team as well. Kieran Donaghy has come in the off-season. What has he brought to proceedings?
Yeah, look, you know, we had a sort of, both Paddy McKeown, John Toll and Jim McCurry moved on, who were very, really good. Look, it helped pull this team from the third division, like, you know, up to the first, but all the different things, and sort of had to move on. And so we have three Kieran's coming in. We have Kieran Donaghy, Kieran McKeever and Kieran McKinney. So good crack of training, you know, when someone's shouting for Kieran. But I think all the three new coaches coming in are adding a similar thing. The big reason I went after Kieran Donaghy was because, as a player, his raison d'etre was to bring other players around him into the game. He was a great focal point, not just for a target thing, like, which I think oversimplified his role, but he was very good at looking at plays beyond the next play and bringing the key players into the game through his own movement or his actual physical contact on the ball. So I just think it's something that we were missing. And then just with his basketball background and his fresh pair of eyes, he's only out of the game, very keen, great character in terms of his very funny fella, a bit like himself, just like to crack a few jokes every now and then. And then, you know, he's worked well with Kieran McKeever in the past and as a rules as a player. And Kieran McKeever would be quite a similar person as being centre half back and captain of the Armagh team, another player who's very good at driving the team on, taking other players into it, like, and pushing on. And it probably has that wee bit of a ruthless edge that maybe we might have been missing. And then, like, with Kieran McKinney coming, like, in, like, you know, on a full-time sort of basis to help us, like, as a goalkeeper. Because let's be honest, like, it's probably, although it's a new sort of position, like, in terms of Gaelic and getting a greater profile, it's still a shit position to play. Like, you make one mistake, like, you know, you're a villain, like, so it's, yeah. You need a certain type of mental capacity to deal with that. Like, and he's been brilliant, like, you know, with the two young fellas we have in there, like, and he's good. So, yeah, Kieran Donaghy's brought something brilliant and extra to the thing, but so have the other two as well. Like, and I'm delighted with all three. They've come in, like, and they've, you know, they've been working hard, even, like, during the lockdown, like, you know, they've been ringing players and talking to them and trying to just keep everybody sort of, like, quiet up and stuff like that when you've been doing nothing. So, yeah, very happy, very, very happy with things.
Kieran, am I right in saying that this is your you've gone on a consecutive run involved with intercounty teams without a break since you started playing in 92?
Yeah, I started playing in 89.
89, sorry.
Yeah, but everybody puts it down as 92 for a reason. I don't know why. I started in September 89. It was the end of my sixth year at school. So the first game was against Donegal. I'll never forget it. I got a fair rap, so I did. Welcome to my senior level. I was only a child, like, basically. But I suppose it has. I don't probably look at it that way. But, when you stop playing, you stop playing. That's the end of your career.
Yeah, because it was such a quick transition from the pitch to off the pitch in a coaching capacity as well. And I wonder, in the coaching side of your career to date, what has been the biggest thing you've seen change over those 14 years or whatever it is at this point?
Everything. We're just seeing it in the last call. They just mentioned that some players leaving and going. Is it just too much? But it's difficult to sort of, I suppose I've transcended, probably I've transcended, transgressed, maybe three or four different generations, in terms of the sport. But when I started back in 89, it turned out to train and to run. Because of September, October, then you had a pre-season for those three games before league. Then you came back in January and February. And you had another pre-season before the four league games. And then you had a 12-week pre-season before the championship. And all of it was revolved around running. And running, and running, and running, and running, and running, and running. And now all you get is football. Outside of the pre-season, you do maybe a 6-7 week pre-season now in GA, and it's all back really to football. It's all football stuff. So, to say things have got out of hand, I think the opposite. I really genuinely do. You're just always playing football. Everything's put on the plate for you, whether it's psychology or strength and conditioning and stuff. And in general, I think 85% of intercounty players love it, so they do. But as you know, bad news sounds better than good news. So I think it's six times better. I think I've put a stat in it. So just everything has changed, every single thing. Relationships between management, how we do things, how we train, how we prepare, how we play, how we refereed, how we're governed, you name it. There hasn't been anything that hasn't changed dramatically. And all for the good, in fairness to GAA. We'd all be sort of knocking them, and they definitely don't get everything right. But we're going in the right direction, albeit slowly, but we're still going in the right direction.
And what about from your perspective as a coach then, what has been the biggest thing that you've learned, or the biggest change maybe that you've made yourself over the last few years?
I suppose listening. You can have very strong opinions about things, and they're just based on my journey to date, rather than somebody else's, and we all have a different perspective, and I try to listen a wee bit more, and I like to think I listen and learn from a lot of different people, and I try to apply what I learn. But I suppose the big thing is listening. Players are far more clued in nowadays than they would have been before. We deal with them in terms of the relationship and that, and having an input on how the things are done. Not everybody agrees with that, but I do. I think it's very hard to ask people to give a total commitment and not giving them a say on what can happen. So I suppose that's the biggest thing, is trying to listen. Maybe not everybody might agree with that particular thing, but sometimes they don't. I would like to think I do a lot of it.
How different is that to being a captain then, Kieran, to being the fellow who's delivering these memorable speeches in the dressing room? Of course, I'm sure listening is part of the captain's role as well, but I assume it's nowhere near the level as the leader of a team of coaches and of players.
It was funny, we went through a very sort of funny patch at Armagh around that time from 96 to 2002. When Brian McLennan was superb, and changing us, but it was probably the old style away. 10,000 error syndrome, we had the 10,000 egg syndrome, the 10,000 eggs against the wall, and the ones that don't break, they're the ones you keep. Brian was really, he made us into a unit, and then obviously Joe and Paul came in and got us across the line, but it was, I enjoyed my time then, but it was tough going.
I'm just thinking what sort of, I'd say even some hard eggs broke in those days.
Nobody would believe me if I told this. Nobody would believe me. I use them as horror stories now for the players just to how good a crack I am compared to what was there before. They still don't believe me though. They still don't believe it. But I enjoyed it. I made some great, sometimes when you're in the trenches, you make some great, great friends. like myself and McGrain and Mars and Maltese, Kieran Keyes, Andy, Bumpy, all of us, like, we look back and we laugh at it, but we weren't laughing then. So, those things have changed. Like, as I say, probably for the better. Like,
just one of the changes, obviously, that's happened as well throughout your coaching career, especially, is the emergence of Dublin as the dominant force in Gaelic football. I'm really interested in your perspective on this, considering you had a front row seat to a certain extent to what they were doing in the first part of the decade, from 2009, 10 and 11 especially. Were you aware when you were in those last few years at Kildare about how big this beast was going to become and the standard setters that they would become?
I couldn't think anybody was, and that's what I find funny now. I'm listening to everybody going on about once in a lifetime players and just this, that and the other. Back then everybody was telling me that they were no good.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you know, like, being very insulting to certain players, like, that are now, like, you know, are gonna go down in, like, our history as some of the best players ever. So I suppose I have a quiet sort of laugh to myself when I hear a lot of people coming out on radio, and even like maybe some of the players that might have played alongside them who had a lot of things to say about them back then as well. To be honest, from a personal point of view, I'm delighted for that group of players. As I said earlier to somebody else, that it's very rarely that you walk past any of them, whether it's James McCarthy or Billy McMahon or Dean Rock, any of those, and I would see some of them when you're down there, like Kieran Kilkenny. They'd all stop, say hello, chat to you about football. They have a great humility about them, even though they know they're, like, they're once in a, like, a generation team. I think they deserve what they got. They put in an enormous effort, a lot more than people would give them credit for. You know, it's one thing sort of seeing everything's put on a plate for them, but, you know, I've seen things put on a plate for a lot of people over the years, and I'm still not willing to do the work that you need to do to become the players that they have become and to become the team that they have become. But I think Pat Gilroy and obviously Jim Gavin, like, I have a lot to take credit for that, like, in creating a culture that allows players to be that type of individual. Like, so I, for one, would admire what they've done, because if anybody else tells me that they knew that this was coming, I'd call them liars, because I was sitting in the middle of them listening to all this as naysayers, and I just delighted for a lot of those players, the work and effort and commitment they put to it, and they're getting their just rewards.
Well, I was just going to say, 2010, for example, Meath, Leinster champions, you'd taken Kildare to an All-Ireland semi-final. Nobody really would have expected them to win every single Leinster championship since. And, like, I do wonder if there's almost a sense, after they got a few on the bounce, that other counties perhaps didn't believe that they could beat Dublin. I get the sense, though, early in the 2010s, there was that belief from Kildare and from Meath that they could beat Dublin. So why has that changed?
I think, like, you know, it depends on the journey. Like, at that particular time, I think Pat was taking them on a particular journey as well. You know, he was changing things within the setup, things that I would have noticed, like, you know, playing club football down there, he was changing that. And he was able to change that, like, around, and, like, some of the things that led to that particular first victory, like, you know, some of the hard days that they had, they were able to use that to their advantage. And as I said, I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then Jim, it's one thing coming into a team and trying to build it up, but coming into a successful team and making it even more successful, even, like, you know, can be argued as a tougher task, and he's done a fantastic job. But when you speak to the man, you can see why. Like, he's very, very articulate and what he knows can win, but he also, you know, has a great relationship with his players. So, you know, like, there's those changes then that, like, I suppose people don't want to see or like to see. They'd rather sort of have the narrative that it was just pure talent and just they're just better, or money, or whatever the narrative particular suits at that particular time. But I just know from a few of the individuals, the work and effort that they put in, it was monumental. And I think then the culture that Dublin have amassed in that time has kept them at the top. I suppose the interesting thing will be is, like, you know, Desi's done a good job now, he's won another one, like, and it's seems to be able to keep it going. Like, you know, eventually they're going to lose a game somewhere, but you have to sit back and admire what they've done.
Yeah, the Fianna Army being well represented in that regard. So, Kieran, you've corrected me there. It's 1989. I was going to say 1992 until 2021. 1989 until now. Are you still enjoying it as much every day? Are you still getting a great buzz off being involved in GAA?
Yeah, I suppose in all my time involved in football, there's only maybe 2 or 3 years that I didn't enjoy. Yeah, I'll keep that particular period to myself, but outside of that there, I've always enjoyed being involved in it. I don't, I suppose, everybody has the things that make them tick, and just the GAA is something that I've always loved and loved being part of. And I think it's a unique sport, the football. And it's pretty, I'd love to see even more positive stuff around it, because I think it's one of the best sports in the world, if not the best sport. You know, all the hurlers out there will be sort of grinding their teeth at me, but hey, you know, as I say, it's just my perspective, but I love it, and I still get a buzz every time I go out onto the pitch with the players.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck this weekend, Kieran, and best of luck for the campaign ahead. Just to mention that Intercounty Football is making its long-awaited return on May 15th with the commencement of the Allianz Football League. This year is marking the 29th year of Allianz's partnership with the GAA as sponsor of the Allianz Leagues, making it one of the longest-running sponsorships in Irish sport. Kieran McGeaney, thanks a million.
No problem.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.